Okay, it is May 28th, last Sabbath of the month. We are in the midst of technical issues, so there's no streaming other than audio streaming. But that's basic audio streaming from our home server, which is WTPR. We can't do the audio / video, I guess you can say, the other streams at all. Because for some reason, I can only download locally on my computer. On my cell phone, everything's fine, but our internet is down, but halfway. I really don't understand what's going on. I've never seen it happen this way before. Started yesterday afternoon. It was like I can go to certain websites that were on private servers, but, you know, if you try to go to YouTube and other like social media kind of servers, websites that I don't go to, but I just had some discernment that there might be like a social lockdown. And that's what it looked like. And so I called and they told me that everything was fine. And so I thought it was the router. And so I was on a tech support for an hour and a half. And it turns out, yeah, it wasn't the router. The guy that said everything was okay didn't realize that it had all collapsed. And so now four counties, not just two, but four counties in Illinois and one county in Indiana are what you might call down. But not really sure. So why don't we get started here? But hopefully, you know, we will be able to do the entire church service on WTPR. Because if they do a reboot, they are working on it now. If they do a reboot, when they figure, okay, everything's fixed, we got a reboot, we'll be offline for about 5 minutes and so. Maybe 10, who knows? Or they might just break it. So, God willing, we'll get through this. The enemy doesn't like what we're about to share. In fact, I had another blessing the other day in Spirit of Prophecy that I'd like to share before starting. And it's a short one this time. Let me see if I can get it into the... Okay, I think it's Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 2, page 243, paragraphs 1 and 2, I think, but it doesn't show the one for number 2. Okay, it fit. Let's see here, please... All right, so it's Jesus used the light of a candle to represent his doctrines, which illuminate the souls of those who accept them. This light, now listen to this, please, brothers and sisters, especially those of you that are young in the faith. She says that this light is not to be hidden from the world, but should shine forth to enlighten and bless those who behold it. And this is regardless if they understand what they're hearing or seeing or not. It doesn't matter. You have to plant the seeds because the Lord needs you to plant that seed so that later when he sends someone else, because if they ignore you, you know, first or second admonition, you know, Titus 3:10, if they ignore you, the Lord's going to send somebody else, but only if you obey the Lord and walk away at the second admonition. Sometimes you got to walk away at the first admonition, the first time you present truth, because they might get violent with you. So, yeah, you don't push it a second time. You just leave. And so she goes on to say that the instruction received by those who listened to Jesus was to be communicated by them to others and thus handed down to posterity. He also declared that there was nothing hidden that should not be manifested. And that's great for those of us that need to have a better understanding of us, that which is written, but it's also scary for those that are not following Christ, because the other toss on this coin is, yeah, nothing's going to be hidden. It will be manifested. Or as prophecy says, shouted from the rooftops. And so all those people out there that claim to be strong Christians at the end of the 1,000 years, everybody's going to know that the emperor has no clothes, you know, in other, like they say today. In other words, pretty much exposed. Everything, every bad thing you've ever done, that's if you don't make it to heaven. Every bad thing you've ever done is going to be out there in front of everyone, no matter how much or how embarrassing it is. Because then the Lord Jesus Christ is vindicated in front of all. Not just vindicated during the 1,000 years that we went through the books. You know, because they're going to lay on the ground rotting for 1,000 years. That's why Satan's called Beelzebub, or he's the god of the dung. And dung can also mean rotted or carrion flesh. You know, like, that's another reason why some rock and rollers call him the Lord of the Flies. So, but anyway, she goes on, whatever was in the heart would sooner or later be revealed by the actions. Now here, this we're blessed with. In our day, usually I've noticed this, if it's leaders in the church, it takes 3.5-4 years. In both cases, recently it happened within 3.5 years. Whereas a man that was, one was an elder and one claimed to be a pastor, and 3.5 years after committing very, very disgusting sins, the Lord revealed it unto us. So some of the stuff is going to be shouted from the rooftops long before 1,000 years. And but that's to allow us to have an understanding on how to cast Achan out of the camp and cleanse the church of the Lord. You can't have those kind of people in your number. And so whatever was in the heart would sooner or later be revealed by the actions. And these would determine whether the seed sown had taken root in their minds and borne goodly fruit, or whether the thorns and brambles had won the day. You know, of course, this is the tail end of a statement that Sister White, or that Jesus was making in regards to the parable of this, you know, where he sows the seeds, and then she's, you know, like some of it falls on the edge of the road, some of it falls in the the thorns and stuff like that, and that's where she's, you know, sharing from. And then she says, he admonished them, you know, he being Jesus, he admonished them to hear and understand him, to improve the blessed privileges then extended to them. Okay, comma's kind of strange. So I'm going to start over. To improve the blessed privileges then extended to them would result in their own salvation, and through them would benefit others. So still a little bit of old English in the way Sister White talked 150-some years ago. Or wait, 105, because she died in 1915. But, you know, she didn't, well, she lived a long life. And then finishing, it says, and with what measure of sincere attention they listened to his instructions, they would receive like measure of knowledge in return. Did you catch that? If you're just sitting in your house right now because mom and dad are saying you got to be there for church, and you're catching every other word, when you come to the age of accountability, if Christ tarries in his coming, because if you're under a certain age, you know, there's not a lot of time left. You know, if the Pope gets his way, they're going to start enforcing the mark of the beast in less than 5 years. And so, if you only get a smattering, and this holds true, too, to watching bad videos or movies or video games and stuff. The Lord revealed this to me many years ago, where when, like, let's say you watch 50%, like, during the day, you dedicate 50% of your day studying Scripture and the other 50% of your day studying or watching bad videos and stuff, or just fiction or whatever. And the thing is that when you do that and the Lord calls you to share your faith with somebody, you're only able to do so half the time or with half the information, because the other half of the information is all boggled up and confused with the other garbage you got in your mind. And so same holds true if you're just sitting there in the living room because mom and dad said sit there, and you're only catching every other word. When you grow to an age of accountability, you're going to have a smattering of the truth. You're not going to have a full understanding. If you're not sitting there hanging on every word from Scripture, like when you're studying the Bible and just zipping through it like a surface reader, yeah, you're not going to get a lot out of it. But if you don't go to verse 2 until you understand verse 1, then you'll grow, regardless of how long it takes you to get to verse 2. Because the Lord's watching you. He knows that you're trying your best. And then finishing, she says, all who truly desire to understand his doctrines would be fully satisfied. Their heaven-given privileges would increase. Their light would brighten unto the perfect day. And so I just thought I'd share that. And that's a little blessing the Lord gave me the other day in regards to someone that needed to hear it. And, okay, does anybody else fall out, or is it just Anthony? All right. Okay, wow. Praise God. You know, now this is another reason why I didn't really want to do church on WTPR, because I don't even have any clue what my upload speed is. I can't test it. I can't test anything, download, upload, or any of it, or even deliniency, because for some reason I can't download 90% of what I need to download, and I for some goofy reason I can upload audio, but I can't upload audio video streaming. So everybody fell out. Yeah, but that's what I'm talking about, because when my internet messes up, it'll be good for, you know, like 20 minutes at 10 meg, let's say, up and down, even though I'm paying for 20. And then all of a sudden, the upload will drop to like 1 meg. That means half the people in WTPR will go bye-bye. So anyway, okay, so let's just keep going. Let's see how good we can go. All right, so picking up where we left off last week in regards to Matthew 24, it says, and we're in verse 22, so we're at Matthew 24. I'm going to read verses 22, 23, and 24 right now, because I want to kind of comment on them as a passage. You know, a verse is a verse, but a passage is a bunch of verses. Yeah, please keep praying. All right, so unless you fall out, please don't put anything in the text chat, because I'm going to think there's problems. So I'm going to have to keep stopping and going over and looking at the text chat. So, all right, verse 22, and it says, well, here, see, I don't know if Sean's been able to make it in today, or if he's, oh, there he is. Okay, good. I know we're going to have lag, too, so not much I can, there's nothing I can do. All right, so Matthew 24, verses 22, 3, and 4 says, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. And then he explains for 2 hours as to what he means. No, he doesn't. See, this is the problem with today's world. They all seem to think that if Jesus doesn't say this, that, or that, or whatever, in regards to when Antichrist appears, let's say Satan, you know, because he's going to appear when we're doing a loud cry, all right? And this is where you'll see what happens in 2027 if the Pope gets his way in regards to enforcing the mark of the beast in phase one, you know, where you can't buy and sell. He's going to appear, but because he's Satan, he's not omnipresent, and he does not have permission to do certain things. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is still valid there. You can't change scripture or prophecy, right? And so he's not going to be able to pop up everywhere. Not every eye will see him. He'll show up here, he'll show up there, he'll show up here, he'll show up there, whatever. And so... if someone tells you, you know, and especially if they came up to you and they're all healed and stuff like that, you never known that person to be a strong Christian, and they're still keeping Sunday holy because Satan is insisting, even though he's claiming to be Jesus, you know it's a fake healing. You know it's just a demonic removal, if you will, for a moment. Like, say, Satan's going to set it up where there's a lot of people, like right now. Look at how many people are sick and stuff out there. I mean, billions, 11 billion, well, since last month, but 11 billion shots have been given. There aren't 11 billion people on the planet, but that's how many shots have been administered. He can work with that. People are going to be sick all over the place, right? And he's going to just tell the demons, okay, let go of that guy's knees or let go of that guy's lungs, whatever, when the guy steps up. And they're going to feel like they're healed, just like at the end of the 1,000 years. when they start to surround the city, they're going to do that to, try to destroy those of us in the city. But Satan doesn't have the ability to, in our day, you know, be in many places at one time. So even if they say he's on the TV, don't go there. I wouldn't, you know, so, oh, they got a video of him. I don't care. I'm more concerned about what happens in reality when the eastern sky splits. And so, my point in the thing at the end of the 1,000 years was a lot of people, well, billions of people are going to be coming out of their graves, but they're not going to have glorified bodies like we will if we come out of our graves or we're part of the Gideon band and we're changed, you know, in the twinkling of an eye. And so billions are going to be coming out of their graves all crippled up. But right when Satan needs them to surround the city, he's going to give them a fake healing to make them think, oh, I'm young again, even though I'm very old. You know, like that Barry Manilow song? That's Satan's coming out, period. If you've ever read the lyrics of that song, you'll understand what I meant there. A very, very evil song. So anyway, Jesus says in verse 24 here, after he said, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. But the world preaches, and I've seen a lot of Sunday-keeping preachers preach this, that the elect can even be deceived, because look, it says, shall deceive the very elect. Like all of a sudden, grammar on planet Earth has changed. What about the words before that that said, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very... But it's not possible, because the elect wouldn't be the elect if they're allowed to be deceived. And how can you be one that will not be deceived? Well, if you keep the Bible in your heart, if you study it every single solitary day, you're not going to be caught off guard with these little dark darts that Satan sends. So as we can see, what Jesus is describing here is in fact the end of days. I mean, think about it. If the Vatican was allowed to continue killing, there would not be a single Christian left on the planet today. That's how bloodthirsty they are. Those days were shortened in 1798, just like Jesus promised. And it will again be shortened in the little time of trouble that leads up to the plagues. Because martyrdoms are going to start up, especially when they start enforcing the mark by you can't buying and selling. And they're going to get everybody to believe that all these disasters and these and Satan, claiming to be Jesus, is going to say the only reason these disasters aren't stopping is because there are people that deny me. They should be keeping Sunday holy. And he'll act like he's all loving and caring and saying, oh, please, try to reach them the best you can. Because eventually we're just going to have to kill them, and we don't want to kill them. You know, that kind of garbage, right? Because we refuse to keep Sunday holy. We refuse to break the seventh-day Sabbath. And so, yeah, there's going to be a lot of martyrdoms during that time. But Scripture and Spirit of Prophecy both say, when they pass the death decree, regardless of what Doug Batchelor and Craig Kalkoffin and all the other false prophets out there say, that's when the killings end. They keep saying you continue to be killed during the plagues, which means the Gideon band has to die. Just like, what's that guy's name? Andrew Henriquez. He teaches that the 144,000 can die. But that's not true. No, they'll be, you know, like the dead in Christ will rise first, and they that which are alive shall be caught up to meet them in the air. Well, they that which are alive are the 144,000. And so, but anyway, some can even say that the Lord shortens this in the very year our Lord returns, but in that year they will be unable to kill the 144,000 anyway, and so that time period cannot apply here either. And so, because it's, you know, it's plague, it's the end of plague six, you know, the start of plague seven is, you know, 125 pound chunks of hail. And so for, as for the false Christs and false prophets, not only have so-called converted Muslims been claiming Jesus is appearing to them in the deserts in the last few years, Benny Hinn has been saying Jesus is in the desert or in the inner rooms for well over a decade. And all the marquees and all the statements of faith of the millions of apostate churches claim Jesus is in their church as well. So, Jesus doesn't have to explain himself. He said, believe it not, and he says, don't go there. Why would we have to question a blunt statement? I check now. I don't know if this is going to work because I can't download, but I can download on a local level for some strange reason. But let's see if I can get this to work. I'm going to try and play two audios from Benny Hinn. And I intro on it, and so I'm going to try and fast forward past the intros. So let me see here if it'll get it. Because if I can't, I'm pretty sure I can, because I can do a local LAN thing. Yep, looks like it's going to work. As long as I got no security on it. Let's see. It don't look like there's any. So let me drag it up to 103. Yep, it's working. Okay, now listen to this. I don't know if you're going to be able to hear it, but let me crank up the volume so it can go through the mic.
Now something else is happening that is, to me, awesome. Absolutely awesome. The Lord is physically appearing in the Muslim world. I'm telling you, Paul, I'm hearing it now more and more and more. Since we preachers cannot go there, Jesus is just going there himself.
You know, yeah, and some of the people start laughing because they believe this guy. They actually think he's telling them. I don't know if you heard that. Were you able to hear it? Yeah, I know I got lag, so I'll hold on a second here. But anybody hear it? Okay, good. Okay, now let's try the second one. So he was saying there that Jesus Christ is appearing in the Muslim world because we can't go there, right? But again, he never shows any proof, any of this. He just makes a comment because everybody thinks he's a faith healer and blessed of God, that it's all going down as he says. And this guy's evil. He's extremely evil. And he lies on camera. He got caught a couple times there. All right, so let me try this one.
Hello, this is Nicola.
All right, let me get past that intro. Okay, here, now listen to this one.
Many of you have known me for many years, but I'm telling you right now, things I had said years and years and years ago, I believe, do this, I believe that Jesus, God's Son, is about to appear physically in meetings and to believers around the world to wake us up.
Okay, now, I'm not going to let it go on. It goes on for like 4 minutes. But, so he's one of the first, but then again, he was one of the first that was graphically possessed by Satan to do what he's doing. The guy's a billionaire, and he's out there just lying to people left and right in regards to, you know, them being healed. And the people that come into his healing events that are crippled up in wheelchairs or on gurneys, they're not allowed anywhere near the stage. And 2020, back in the 80s and 90s, did an expose on him. Even the IRS went after him, but Satan protects him. And so, but because no one, and this includes millions that trust Benny Hinn, but because nobody studies their Bibles, it's happening exactly as Paul said in Romans 1:25. The Christians worship the creature, you know, more than the Creator. And the creature here is, of course, the preacher. They believe the lies of men like Benny Hinn more than the truth that Jesus himself declared in Matthew chapter 24, 2,000 years ago. And so as a loud cry swells up to empty many pews in the apostate churches, and this includes every Seventh-day Adventist church, because they're apostate across the board, right down to joining with the other churches to create an image of the beast in Rome under their 501c3. So as the loud cry starts to swell up, many of the pews in these churches are going to empty, and Satan will then appear as Christ to lure people away from the truth that they embraced via the loud cry when we go forth. Check this out. This is going to be from Review and Herald. Okay, let me see if I can get it to fit in a room. And this is a Review and Herald, April 3rd, 1888. No, this isn't the 1888 Great Controversy. It's the Review and Herald, the big green books. This is safe. It says, the time is coming when Satan will work miracles right in your sight, claiming that he is Christ. And if your feet are not firmly established upon the truth of God, then you will be led away from your foundation. The only safety for you is to search for the truth as hid treasures. Dig for the church. dig for the truth, as you would for treasures in the earth. Hold on a second here. Okay. All right, so the only safety is for you to search for the truth as for hid treasures. Dig for the truth as you would for treasures in the earth, and present the Word of God, the Bible, before your Heavenly Father and say, enlighten me. Teach me what is truth. I remember doing it as a babe. I remember a preacher that didn't, years and years ago, decades ago, I was still a Sunday keeper at the time, he didn't know how to read. He worked for Illinois Bell, and he didn't know how to read. He, you know, a few words, but for the most part, he couldn't read. And he used to be the kind of guy that would joke around and blaspheme to the point where he would walk into a bar with his shoes off, holding him up in the air, say, "Hey, everybody, I'm saving souls." That's how bad he was. And then Christ got a hold of him. And he got a hold of a Bible, and he did what Sister White just says here. Now, granted, why, I don't know. He still keeps Sunday holy. He's still alive. Barely, though. He's up there. And so keep him in your prayers. His name is Russ, Pastor Russ. But he told the Lord, says, "I don't know how to read, but I trust you that you will teach me how to read with your book." And that's how he learned. So anyway, she goes on to say that when his Holy Spirit shall come into your hearts to impress the truth into your souls, you will not let it go easily. You have gained such an experience in searching the scriptures that every point is established. And it is important that you continually search the scriptures. You should store the mind with the Word of God. Especially in these last days, brothers and sisters, we're on the precipice of the loud cry. I mean, think about it. If the Pope gets his way in 2027, they even have a clock, a countdown clock in New York City Times Square that's counting down to November of 2027, where he says he's going to enforce climate change laws. We know what that means. He's not saying Sunday laws yet, but he's going to, because that's the scuttlebutt. That's what's all over the internet. That's what's all over the world. I've got a page on the website all about it. In fact, I got two. One, the Sabbath Attack page, where I got thousands of verses there, and then a new, thousands of articles there and videos, and then a new one I call Religious Laws Are Coming. It's the Religio-Politico page. And that one's, I update more now because the other one's just, it's just too huge. And now this one here is just, you know, all the modern day stuff that I put up on a regular basis. And so we know what's coming. But think about that. If he gets his way in 2027, and we don't know how long we're going to be doing the loud cry. The midnight cry is an exact duplicate of what we do in the loud cry, only I'm thinking it'll take less time because of the internet, but then, of course, the free speech thing, they're going to knock us offline anyway. So we might have the same time that they had during the midnight cry, you know, just a year and a half or something like that. I can't remember how long it was. But the thing is if the Pope gets his way, and the reason I say gets his way, because only the Father in heaven knows the day and the hour. And so if it's close enough, because the Pope is also pushing for a one-world government in 2030. He's using John Kerry to push it. One-world government. And we know the one-world government only lasts 15 days. In prophecy, that's called the 1 hour with the beast. And so the Pope figures, I need at least 3 years to get everybody on it. You know, so he's picking 2027. But the Lord might not let him do it till 2028 or 2029. Who knows? But if he does, do it in 2027. We're going to be going out in a loud cry within the next 5 years because we do it first, and then they do what they do to try to shut us up. Okay, thank you, Brother Anthony. The loud midnight cry lasted 6 months. Okay. Okay. All right. So, So 6 months is how long, but that's when it got intense around the, when they find, was it William Snow, or was it, I know his last name was Snow. He's the one that calculated the July 10th thing as the proper date of the end of the 2300-year prophecy, the July 10th being the Hebrew calendar, the real calendar. But when you translate it into the Gregorian calendar, as we understand it, that's October 22nd, 1844. And so I think around 6 months before then is when he, you know, and that, and even William Miller was a little upset at the time because you're setting an exact date. That's wrong. But he, you know, it was prophesied that they would make that mistake. It's right there in Revelation. But think about that. It doesn't take long. That's how, and they didn't have as many back then. William Snow, okay. Okay, that's the guy. Okay, and so, but yeah, they didn't have as many people going forth with this message as we're going to have, you know, 144,000. And then even the people that help us during time, just like in Noah's day. A lot of people helped him to build the ark, and then the Lord allowed them to take a nap before the flood came. And so where did I leave off here? Okay, so again, let me backtrack a little bit. It says, it is important to that you continually search the scriptures daily, and we all know why, because, I mean, those two audios I just put in the room a few moments ago where Benny Hinn says Jesus Christ is right now showing up on the planet, well, he's caught a liar, but that's what the false prophets are going to say. So they've already started preaching that, and that was in the late 90s, okay? So the stage is already set. And then she goes on to say that you should store the mind with the word of God, for you may be separated in place where you're not able to, not, you will not have the privilege of meeting with the children of God. In other words, you might end up in behind bars, or you might be in a cave somewhere, hiding because the death decree has been put forth, right? And John 14, 26 is a major promise here, because if you study the scriptures daily, oh yeah, Samuel Snow, that's the guy. I'm sorry, I always say William for some reason. But if you study the scriptures daily, then you have all those pearls of truth that whenever you need the Bible verse, like when a scary thing happens or someone's suggesting this or that, and the Lord will give you the Bible verse that says, no, don't go there. Or yes, that's the thing you need to do. That kind of, you know. But if you don't study the scriptures now, you're going to be on your own. And that's why so many people are going to get the mark of the beast. Because that's why there's 44,000 different denominations, and I don't even know how many different Bibles. Please, what's going on with the text chat here? Please, 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 especially now, we can't have the text chat jumping around because we can't do church normally. I can't do streaming, and so the text chat has to stay to where only in emergencies or the Bible verses that we're putting in. Because I got to keep stopping to look over, brothers and sisters. I can't, you know, we can't do this. And during fellowship, let's do it, you know. Like some of the stuff like the climate clock over, it's, I think, Sister Marie, or no, War, or I don't know. We'll look at that later. But if we can, if we're still online. And anyway, she goes on to say that after telling everybody that you won't have a privilege, like you might be in a cave or in a jail cell, and you're not able to be around people that, you know, you want to fellowship with, like Christians, she says, then you will want the treasures of God's word hidden in your hearts. And when opposition comes around you, you will need to bring everything to the scriptures. Because they're going to test and try and trick people. Satan is very, very, very good at tricking people into thinking this is what God would have you do. I mean, come on. There are billions of Christians out there that worship their creed and they worship their pastor. How do they worship their pastor? Well, the word worship can also be defined as obey. And so if the pastor says God changed the Sabbath to the first day of the week, they're obeying the pastor over the creator. In other words, like Paul said in Romans, they worship the creature, which is the pastor, over and above the creator. So they're obeying what the pastor says and ignoring what Jesus says. And this is what's always shocked me, is because we have the Bible, and there's so many false doctrines out there that it's amazing how many people calling themselves Christians agree with some of this stuff, like the seven-year trib, secret rapture, immediate life after death, when you die, or eternal life in hell. And they all claim to be Christians. It says, your Bible says the exact opposite on those things, which means they're all pastor echoes, exactly as the Bible said they would be. And that's why we in the Old Testament are called peculiar, because we don't do it like they do. And that's why they were able to flip it over and call the people that obey the Lord Jesus and his scripture, they call us a cult, when the actual definition of a cult is someone who preaches a religion that disagrees with scripture. That was the original definition of a cult. That's why I made that video, The Six Signs of a Cult. It's on my, it's one of those early videos. And so, what she says here, that we're going to have to bring everything to the scriptures, and again, that was a review in Herald April 3rd. This is going to happen for each and every one of us, even if you're, you know, like me, without the ability to memorize. Okay, I can't memorize anymore. Although I have been testing something, it seems to be working for me. If I don't know, 10 times a day, like every time I have a downtime, like say if I go out for the midday prayer, and there's other times that I'll sit down and I'll immediately open up the cell phone and go into scripture. I'm staying in Philippians 4 verse 8 for the last week and just repeating it over and over and over and over and over again. And now I'm pretty sure I can say it from memory. But it takes me forever. Not like when I was a young man. I was unable. I was able to, you know, my dad gave me a 2-page script that I memorized in one day. And, you know, the rest was history on that when it came to the sales, because I was running one of his offices. And so, even if you can't memorize anymore, the promise of John 14:26 is absolute. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he, okay, Jesus just called the Holy Spirit he, which means he's a separate person. He's not just a thought process between the Father and the Son. He goes, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And this really happens. I cannot tell you how many times I hear a Bible verse come to mind, or even just a small portion of it, the very moment I'm tempted to do something I shouldn't do, or when I'm trying to help someone see the truth as it needs to be seen. Certain verses just pop into my mind, and that they need to hear, even though I never memorized any of those verses. You know, they're not my norm, you know, because I have a lot of verses that I use on a regular basis, you know, like 1 Corinthians 10:13 or John 14:26. All these verses that I use, on, like especially when I first started on Fire Talk, my message about exposing Antichrist going down, and that eventually came a web page on the website and a video. On the street, I can go verbatim for hours on all the stuff that I just kept repeating on Fire Talk. And so it's not about memorizing as much as it is about studying scripture daily, so as to have the word of God well stored in the heart, so that when those verses are needed, the Holy Spirit can bring them from your memory to help you see the light on the path before you. But if you don't study the word of God daily, and you don't have to do it for hours and hours, don't go to verse 2 till you understand verse 1 kind of stuff. The Lord sees that you're being serious, and he'll start opening it up, and then the Bible I've never seen, I used to watch the shoot 'em up, bang 'em up movies or the heavy plotted movies. And then when I started reading the Bible, it was boring. But then after I got rid of all the movies and all that stuff and stopped the fiction and started studying the Word, eventually it got to be, this is the most exciting book I've ever read. And to be honest, it's the only book unless it's computers, because I never even read the novels when I was in high school. I got in trouble for that, but I says, no, I just, I don't want to read someone else's imagination. It never made sense to me. And so, but studying the Word, it's just, especially to get in areas like, you know, when the Red Sea is splitting or Lazarus is rising, you know, it's just, it's amazing. Or even Sister White's writings, because she'll put today's kind of language into it. And my wife and I, it's all we can do to stop the study every night, because we want to go maybe another page. Okay, another page. We're going 3 or 4 or 5 pages just reading about, like right now we're reading about, well, we just finished reading about Joseph and his, you know, the issues with his brothers and stuff and ending up, to, you know, as governor of Egypt. And now we're just starting with Moses. And it's just, you get excited about it because But if you don't give it a chance, it won't be exciting. And then heaven will be considered boring to you too. And so, yeah. So if you don't, you won't have much in storage. And when you need to be warned about something, the word you need to be reminded of simply doesn't exist because you never even bothered to read it. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're a babe in Christ and you truly are trying your best to study the word, the Lord is not going to allow you to be tempted in ways that you're not prepared for. The Bible is filled with situations that happened to other people for the last 6,000 years that can teach us how to best handle certain situations simply by seeing how Moses, David, Esther, or any other child of God in the Word of God made it through the trial. Okay? Now, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 10, verses 11 to 13. Okay? This, because I always say 1 Corinthians 10, 13, but I want to set into it. Let's read verses 11 to 13, and it says, "Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples," or examples, as we say today, "and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." In other words, all that stuff that's in the Bible is to help us better understand what's coming, because we're really on the end of the world. He was looking at 2,000 years from the day he dies, the world's going to end. We're looking at less than 10, 8 maybe, if the Pope gets his way. And so, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." I mean, everybody's gone through it, and we all know how we can, handle it. But even better, it says, "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with that temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." You know, as I read what Sister White said about digging for the truth in Scripture, I can't help seeing the people sitting on the grass, just listening to Jesus preach the Sermon on the Mount 2,000 years ago. They literally were hanging on every word because they met him just as we can meet him once we accept him as Savior. When we finally get home to heaven, brothers and sisters, we're going to be able to sit on the grass, listen to Jesus, without worrying about ticks. Okay, for those of you that got issue there. But we're going to be able to sit on the grass, listening to Jesus preach every Sabbath throughout eternity, or just when he stops by and visits with us for a while. And it's not going to be, "Oh, we got a new church." No, it's not going to be like that. It's going to be, he's coming here, he's going to hang out with us. Yeah, it's a different world, okay? Eternity, it's just off the chart, amazing. And what really blesses us now is all of us can sit in our homes or even on the grass in our yard or a park, for that matter, reading the Word of God so as to listen to Jesus speak to us in his Word each and every day of our lives. You know, when you open his Word each and every day, you will eventually come to a place where you cannot wait to open his Word each and every day. And so you also relish each word that comes from the heart, as comes to our hearts, rather, as we read the Holy Word, even before we get to get home to heaven. Because think about it. You want to talk to Jesus? You want to hear what he has to say about this, that, or whatever? Read Genesis to Revelation, all of 66 books, because he is the Word made flesh. So when you're reading Scripture, he is talking to you. Whether you understand that, I don't, understand it. Nobody can put that, because his ways are not our ways, okay? But it really does happen. And there are times that Bible verses will also fly off the page and, hit you. And this happens to me on a regular basis. Some of you in the church family know about this. I know my kids know about this, because every now and then a Bible verse will come up and the Lord will say something to the effect that, "This is for your daughter," or "This is for your son," or "This is for this brother," or "This is for this sister." And I'll send it to them, because he's not going to give it to me if I don't do my job. And so, but this also reminds me of pictures I saw as a boy in magazines where, with the children sitting on the floor listening to their father read from them from a book, in the good old days, like when I was a kid. This is how Bible study has to be to all of us. We need to open it up each day, expecting something we never heard before that somehow changes us deep within. And having that kind of experience daily, we will get to a place that even if they roll a guillotine right in front of us, the only thought that comes to our mind now can be, "Wow, soon. I'll be able to sit on the grass in New Jerusalem, listening to the words of Jesus Christ as they gently flow directly from his lips. Isn't that something? We can actually have that, you know. Because, yeah, sure, there's some people, it's a little scary. You're going to die, but, and you don't even remember how long you're dead. For those of you that have loved ones that have died, they don't even know they're dead. Even Peter had to explain it to the young believers that converted to Christianity in the book of Acts. I think it's in chapter 2, where he literally tells them, King David is still in his tomb to this day. Yeah, because they thought that you went straight to heaven at death then too. But when David wakes up, or any of our loved ones wake up that have died, the last thing they remember is, you know, if they remember when they died, because I got a buddy that died in his sleep. So last thing he remembers was laying down for the bed at night, and then he gets up in the morning and it's like, whoa. It's like, where's the covers and the pillow? And he's ascending. Because I think he made it. You know, Tony Ray. Yeah, I met him when I was 12, and boy, did he have a lot of Bible questions. And he was trying his best. And so I'm going to stop it here, because otherwise I'm going to go way off, because I didn't expect to. I've got a lot more to share. But that's right. I started with the SOP thing, and so I went a little long. But hope and pray that you were blessed. Let's play a song. And praise the Lord, WTPR is working. And then we'll start the Q&A session after this. I have, now that one might be extra long, but again, where you gotta be. So let me drop the mic. I'll be right back in about, 2 minutes, however long the song is. So see you in a bit.